Today on Brave, the start of a new series from Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub.
The way that God works out his call is through his demands for obedience in all areas of your life. God wants you to be obedient to everything that he's shown you. He did not write this book just for you to look at and say, oh, that's pretty good, but I'll never accomplish anything there. He wrote this book so that you would submit to the authority of it and become what this book wants you to be. Not perfectly, but increasingly.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. As Christians, our life's purpose isn't to be famous or wealthy or any other standard this world promotes. Instead, our purpose is found through following the unique, perfect will of God. But perhaps you're wondering, what is God's calling for my life? Well, today on Brave, Pastor Jeff continues our study in the book of Exodus by helping us learn how to hear and respond to the call of God. And before we begin today's lesson, I want to remind you, if you miss any of these messages on the radio, you can catch up anytime you'd like at bravemedia.online. Now, here's Pastor Jeff with part two of a message titled, Responding to God's Call.
Now we learned in the book of Hebrews that faith is the assurance of what we hope for, the conviction of what we do not see. And in Hebrews 11:6, we learn that without faith, it is impossible to please him because anyone that comes to him must believe that he is and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. So an answer to God's call on your life, an answer to hearing the word of the Lord, the simple answer, like what do I need to do? It's have faith or trust. The question becomes, okay, so how do I do that? What does it look like for me to trust God right now, presently in this season? If you've been praying to the Lord or you've been wondering for a while, I just wish I knew what he wanted from me. I believe that God has a word for you today. And to take a look at that word, we're gonna be in the book of Exodus this morning, chapter 4. And we're gonna take a look at four ways to respond to God's call today, four requirements of faith, what faith looks like in your life. And the first is this, responding to God's call requires trusting his authority and power to accomplish his purposes. After all that he's told them, after all he's told Moses and all he's told him that will take place for the children of Israel, chapter 4, verse 1 says, then Moses said, what if they do not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. And so God has him do a learning illustration. The Lord said to him in verse 2, what is that in your hand? And he said, a staff. So what's God gonna tell him to do with this staff? This tool that's brought him comfort, this tool that's brought him protection, this tool that's been everything that he's ever needed. Then he said, throw it on the ground. Throw it on the ground. In other words, he's telling Moses, take what you think are your best resources, take what you think is most important to you and lay it down before me. God is gonna show him that what he's holding in his hand, when God empowers it, is way more powerful than if he just held on to it himself. He lays it on the ground and all of a sudden it turns into this huge serpent and he runs away. And then he hears the voice of the Lord. And what does the voice of the Lord say in verse 4? But the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand and grasp it by the tail. Now Moses is obedient and Moses does that. And when Moses does that and grabs it by the tail, he stretched out his hand and caught it and it became a staff in his hand again. And God said that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. He's telling them, here's how you're gonna know. You're not going on your own power anymore. You're going on my power. By the time he picks that staff back up, it's no longer gonna be called Moses' staff anymore. You know what it's gonna be called? The staff of God. Because that staff is gonna be used to bring all sorts of miraculous works over the Egyptians, all sorts of plagues. It's gonna part the Red Sea. Moses does not have the ability to do anything that God was gonna call him to do. He needed to respond to God's authority and God's power in order to do that. And that's what God does in our lives. God helps us see those things before we move forward. Notice what he says. If that wasn't enough, in verse 6, the Lord furthermore said to him, now put your hand in your bosom or inside your cloak. So he put his hand inside his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And then God says this. Then he said, put your hand back into your bosom again. So he put his hand back in his bosom again. When he pulled it out of his bosom, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. See, God had him lay down his staff because that was the tool. That was his resource. That's what he had. God showed him that he also has control over the whole body. But verse 9 says, but if they will not believe even in those two signs or heed what you say, then you shall take some water from the Nile, pour it on the dry ground, and the water which you take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. He's like, I need to be in control of your resources. I need to be in control of your body. And oh, by the way, I'm in control of every life-giving source that goes on for you and the entire nation of Egypt. I'm in control of it all. Submit to my authority and submit to my power. If you want to be used by God in the calling that he has for your life, submit to his authority and submit to his power. That's what Moses is learning. God doesn't change your personality. He doesn't change who you are. He wants you to be who you are. And this is a big deal because sometimes when you talk about laying your stuff down or coming to Christ or giving him your best, you falsely hear the devil say something like this. That means you got to become one of those weird Christian people. That means you got to become like them. That means you don't have to become like anybody else. You want Christ to fill you and be the fullness of who Christ is in your life. I argued with the Lord for a long time. I'm like, I do not have the pastor temperament. That's not who I am. I'm visionary. I'm directing. I'm bold with my words. That's who I am, God. I'm not sweet by nature. I'm not kind by nature. I'm not shepherdy by nature. That's not who I am. You got the wrong guy. But here's what I found. God doesn't care. All God wants to do in the process is have us be obedient and then sanctify that as we continue. Amen? You don't have to change who you are. God's just asking you to be you because he's the one that made you. He's the one that gave you your temperament. He's the one that gave you your personality. All he's asking is, will you let my authority and my power be what works through you? Amen? And one of the reasons that we have a hard time taking the next step is we want to do it under our power and our authority and accomplish our purposes with our decisions. And then we wonder why we're not seeing the power of God at work in our lives. All he's asking is this, will you lay it down? Will you lay it down? Will you let me empower what you have? Because when I supernaturally empower who you are, I can do far more than you ever dare dream or imagine according to the power that is at work within you. Amen? Responding to God's call requires trusting or faithing in his authority and power to accomplish his purposes. Number two is this, it's trusting his design and choice to empower you. Responding to God's call requires trusting his design and choice to empower you. Notice verse 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, you know, here's what he's saying. He's like, okay, I mean, you would think he's been talked to at the burning bush. He's been told he's the great, you know, that God's the great I am. He's been shown that his staff becomes a serpent. He's been shown a leprous hand that can be healed. He's shown that water can be turned to blood. And you'd think he'd be like, that's fine, but that's not what he says. He says, Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither recently or in time past, not since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Here's what he says. I know what you want to do. I agree that it needs to be done. But God, I want to tell you something. I'm not good at what you're asking me to do. That's not my skill set. That's not who I am. Now, what would you expect the next verse to be? And God said, I'm sorry, Moses. I guess I got the wrong guy. You think that's going to happen? I mean, we can debate with the Lord, but I think the Lord loves choosing the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He loves choosing those that when God shows up through them, whether it be David killing Goliath or Peter being the preacher or Paul being the apostle, he's picking people that are unlikely. You know why? Because we say it all the time. That's the only people he can pick. He's not calling you because you're qualified. He's going to qualify you because you're called. So he's telling him, so Moses says to him, it's not me, I'm slow of speech. Then the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then, go. Now you're going to see that word all over the place. Every time God commissions, even Jesus in the Great Commission, what's he say? Go. Just go. Quit dragging your feet. Quit thinking about what you don't have. Quit thinking about what you're not good at. Just go. So he says, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. Hey, I made your mouth. I give you the thoughts. Don't even worry about it. Just go. I gotcha. Now, what do you think Moses is going to say now? He's ran out of excuses. I mean, come on. What if people don't listen to me? Told them what to do. What if they don't believe me? Told them what to do. What if I don't have the power? He showed them how to have it. Hey, but my voice isn't so good. I'll go with you. I'll empower it. I made your mouth. Don't worry. Just go. Then you think Moses would be like, all right, got it. Now I'm going to go. That's not what he says. I love the humanity of the Bible. No human would write this book. But he said, This is Moses talking. Please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will. Translation, God, good luck with who you're gonna pick, because it's not me. That's what he's saying. Do you realize even when we hear the Lord and even when we know what the Lord wants us to do and even when we're confirmed that he could do it through us, oftentimes we're like, yeah, but I just don't, it's not what's on my agenda. It's not what I want. That's not what I'm looking to. That's not how I saw my life playing out. I saw it going in a different direction. I don't think I'm qualified. He's still thinking about himself. He's not thinking about what God's gonna do. And notice what happened in verse 14. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. He ticked God off. I mean, God is patiently showing him what's going on. God has been waiting 40 years to deliver him to Midian and another 40 years to have this conversation with him. So for 80 years, he's been developing Moses for this specific task, spells it out in grand detail, and Moses is like, hey, good luck with your choice. And God's thinking, from eternity past, I picked you for this. This is all I have for you. God ordained all for you in eternity past. He gave you the time to live, according to Acts chapter 17. You're living in this moment because this is what God has for you. So God's angry with Moses now, but then he's still gracious because notice what he says. Is there not your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently, and moreover, behold, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. In other words, and we're gonna see this later when God provides resources, while God is talking to Moses, God is also calling his brother Aaron to be a part of this venture. God's always gonna provide what you need when you step out in faith. He's like, I already got the guy that's the good speaker, but I'm still gonna speak through you. But Aaron will help you. Verse 15, you are to speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and his mouth, and I will teach you what you are to do. Moreover, he shall speak for you to the people, and he will be as a mouth for you, and you will be as God for him. What's he saying? He's like, I'm raising up a guy, your brother, who's been in Egypt, who's an elder for Israel. He'll have a relationship there. You tell him what I told you to say. I'll use his influence to grow, but people will see that you've spent time with me as your God. I'm gonna do this. Who's the one that accomplishes a call in a person's life? Is it you or is it God? Biblically, it's God. We write a lot of books about a lot of people that have done a lot of great things, but if there's anything that's supernatural and lasting, it's always God that's the one that gets glory for doing the work. It's always God that does this. It's always God the one that makes this happen. And what Moses is needing to learn is not only trust God's authority and power, but God's design and choice to empower you. I mean, Moses' thought is, I'm not your guy. I don't fit the mold. I'm a shepherd. I'm not a deliverer of people. And I'm kind of happy being a shepherd. And I don't really want to go back to Egypt. People there were seeking my life. That doesn't sound like fun. But God is the one who ordains what you're gonna do before a day even comes to be. And you need to trust his design and his choice to empower you. He selected you. Now what the enemy's gonna tell you is, who do you think you are? You don't have what it takes. You're never gonna be able to accomplish any good thing for God. And here's why. And he'll go through a litany of things. He'll go through your sinful past. He'll go through the fact that you don't have the intelligence, or you don't have the background, or you don't have the education, or you don't have the people, or you don't have the people skills, or you don't really know what you're doing. And he will try to talk you out of everything. And it will sound really good, because with whatever he's saying, if you look in the mirror, you'll say, I see all those things. I am a sinner and I'm not really good at anything God's calling me to do. That's why you're not called to look in a mirror. You're called to look at the glory of God, the one who called you, who says, even though you're not, I can make you what you need to be. Amen? And that's what he's telling us. You need to trust his authority and power by laying down your resources before him. Say, God, everything I have is yours. Use whatever you want, however you want to use it. And God, thank you for making me just the way I am. And thank you for choosing to use me just the way I am. You don't want to spend your life trying to change who you are, trying to change your personality, or trying to change anything else. God made you just the way you are because that's the way he wanted you to be. Do not apologize ever for who you are, your nationality, your color of skin, your gender, whoever you are. That's what God wanted you to be. Just be the best of that for him. Amen? That's who you are. And then he says this, responding to God's call not only involves trusting his authority and power and his belief that he's chosen and selected you, but responding to God's call requires trusting in his demands for obedience in all areas of your life. The way that God works out his call is through his demands for obedience in all areas of your life. God wants you to be obedient to everything that he's shown you. He did not write this book just for you to look at and say, oh, that's pretty good, but I'll never accomplish anything there. He wrote this book so that you would submit to the authority of it and become what this book wants you to be. Not perfectly, but increasingly. So notice what Moses does in verse 18. He goes to his father-in-law. Then Moses departed and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please let me go that I may return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see if they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, there's that word again, go. Go in peace. Who's he go to first? He goes to his family. When you have the call of God on your life, it requires you to go public with the call of God. The first group he goes to is who? His family. That's one of the most difficult groups of people to go to. Do you know why? Because they know everything about you. And they know all the reasons why you're unqualified to do the very thing that you're telling them God called you to do. Like, who do you think you are? Where does he go first? He goes to his father-in-law. He says, this is what God's calling me to do. I need to take my wife, your daughter, and our two boys. We got to go back to Egypt. And what's Jethro say? Go. Here's what I find. If you're obedient to what God says, he'll open the door. Even from people that can't fully see what you're supposed to be, he'll open the door. All you're called to do is be obedient. So he goes public to his family. And then notice what happens in verse 19. Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, there's that word again, go. Go back to Egypt, for all the men who are seeking your life are dead. Isn't it cool to know that God designs the timing? I mean, if Moses goes back any earlier, he's in this pickle because he killed a man, right? People were upset with him. People were still upset with him years and decades later because he killed someone and took innocent blood. God tells him, you can go back now. That's those people that were looking to take your life, they're gone. You won't have to worry about that ever again. Now's the time. How long did he have to wait? 40 years? 40 years? He's gonna be 80 when he's going back. So God tells him, this is what it's gonna be. So Moses, verse 20, took his wife and his sons and mounted them on a donkey and returned to the land of Egypt. Moses also took what? The staff of God in his hand. That same staff he'd been carrying around for 40 years that wasn't doing anything, now it's the staff of God. It's the empowered tool and witness of the Lord. He takes that with him. And the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you perform before the Pharaoh all the wonders which I have put in your power, but I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. He says this, when you go to Pharaoh, make sure that you tell him everything I've told you and you do everything that I've showed you. He doesn't say, do some of it. He doesn't say, go back to Pharaoh and say, hey, listen, God showed me some things and I need you to let the Israelites go. He said, you show him everything. Do not hold back. Show them the whole counsel of God, everything that I put on your heart to do. And when you do, I'm gonna harden his heart. Now we'll talk about Pharaoh's hardness of heart over time, because for Pharaoh and the Egyptians at that time, much like many of us, we think that hardening our heart towards God is a good thing. Like, I don't need that Christian crutch. I don't need to be a weak person. I'll make it through life on my own. We do that today just like Pharaoh's gonna do in front of God. So here's what God says to Moses. You tell him and show him everything. What does that mean? Give him the whole counsel of God. We don't like to do that. Like when it comes to the gospel, we like to tell people this, that Jesus Christ is God's one and only son who died on the cross for your sins. And through repentance and faith, you can be saved and saved to the full and have everlasting life with God. And that is 100% true. But the whole counsel of God would also teach that if you refuse to repent and believe that Jesus is the Christ alone, you will meet him one day and you will hear these words, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you, and you will be cast into an eternal hell forever and ever, amen. And some people have hard hearts and say, well, what could a loving God, why would a loving God do something like that? The bigger question is, how could a holy God let you into his kingdom? And he hates sin enough that he slayed his own son. What makes you think you're gonna get away with your sin? And there's some people that play games with God because they think that Christianity is just something to think about every now and again. What I'm talking about, the claims of Jesus Christ, you will think about for the rest of your eternity. Are you saved? Have you repented and believed that Jesus is the Christ? Have you made him the Lord of your life? That becomes the question. He says, when you go to Pharaoh, tell him everything. Don't hold back. When God commissioned Jeremiah, he told him, hey, you go to your own people and you call them to repentance. And if you tell them everything, then their blood's on their own heads. But if you do not, then their blood is on your head. What are pastors called to do? Preachers called to do? Preach the whole counsel of God. If people refuse to repent and believe, that's people's problem. If you don't tell them, then that's your problem. All right? So when you come to Brave, I'm gonna preach the whole counsel of God. Do you know why? Because I'm way more afraid of Jesus than I am of you. And I care way more about what he thinks of me than I care about you. And I love you enough to tell you that. Because God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everybody to come to a knowledge of him. I'm not telling you this because God hates you. I'm telling you this because God loves you and God wants to be in relationship with you. And anybody that comes to him, he'll never turn away. So come to Jesus. That's the point of the message. He says to go to Pharaoh, tell him everything, and I'm gonna harden his heart. He goes, then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. But you have refused to let him go. Behold, I will kill your son, your firstborn. So how would you like going back and telling the king of Egypt that? I've met with God. He views Israel as his own son. You let them go now. We're going out for a 3-day journey to worship. If you don't, God loves his son so much that if you don't let them go, he'll kill your son. That's the message Moses is supposed to say. And if I were Moses, I'd be like, that's kind of harsh, but it's true. And God says, you got to tell him everything. There's no way that you can take shortcuts in obedience. You have to do everything that the Lord put in your heart. You have to do it all. Not just some of it, but all of it. You can't say, well, I'm being obedient in this area, in this area, in this area, but this area here, this is a big area. Give me a break, Lord. No, God wants to grow you in that area too. In every area of your life, God is constantly trying to grow you in holiness. He's always trying to grow you in a way that lets people see that he's really the Lord of your life. Not perfectly, as I've said, but increasingly. Now, let's look at verses 24, 25, and 26. I've spent a lot of time on these verses. See what you think. They're on their way to Egypt, and it says this. Now, it came about at the lodging place on the way that the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. Then Zipporah, who was his wife, took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and threw it at Moses' feet. And she said, you are indeed a bridegroom of blood to me. So he let him alone. At that time, she said, you are a bridegroom of blood because of the circumcision. And all God's people said, what? Like, what in the world is that doing there? I mean, it's the weirdest place for this. I mean, I studied it all week. I've heard all this. And it's interesting because in the text, the word Moses is not mentioned. Some of you that use the NIV or other dynamic equivalent versions, they're inserting the word Moses there, that God was going to kill Moses. The text doesn't say that. He could have been trying to kill Moses, but I think it's even better to take it this way. We've just been talking about God's son. Who's God's son? It's Israel. We've been talking about the Pharaoh's son, his firstborn. What's he talking about now? He's talking about Moses' son. What was the problem? God established the covenant of circumcision in Genesis chapter 17. And Moses apparently had not made sure that his son was circumcised. And God is saying this, just because you're in ministry, there's no hall pass for disobedience.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraub, and part two of the message, Responding to God's Call. We'll catch up with the conclusion on tomorrow's program. If you can't join us tomorrow, or if you miss any of these messages on the radio, you can always catch up at bravemedia.online. Today's lesson about responding to God's call is such an important reminder about what faithful living really looks like. As Christians, there's one calling we all share, and that's to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why we want to invite you to be part of this radio ministry today by sharing a financial gift of any amount. Your generous giving is what allows us to continue producing and distributing these biblical teachings. When you give, you're taking an active stance in helping share the life-changing truth of God's Word with new communities across the country. So, no matter where you're listening from today, we invite you to join the team and help share these Brave Bible teachings with those who need them by clicking the Donate tab at bravemedia.online or by calling us at 360-552-7283. That's 360-552-7283. You can send a check in the mail. Our address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. Before we end today's program, we want to invite you to join us for weekend services here at Brave Church. Come visit us in person at our campus in Englewood or our second campus in Westminster. And no matter where you're listening from, you can always join us right from home through our live stream. Visit bravemedia.online, scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. In the meantime, if you have any other questions or comments to share with Pastor Jeff, email us hello@bravechurch.co. Again, that's hello@bravechurch.co. That's all of our time for now. I'm Bill Carl, reminding you to tune in again tomorrow for the conclusion of our lesson, Responding to God's Call. That's next time, right here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.